talked about something last week. We were discussing issues of wounds, whether they constitute a chatzitza or not. So we saw that the Mishnah tells us that if you have a ruti, if you have a bandage, so that's considered to be a problem. Why is that a problem? That's considered to be a davar machbit. So there's a machlokes of poskim. What makes a bandage a davar machbit? Everybody agrees it's a davar machbit. The question is, why is it? So some achronim said, because eventually you're going to take it off. So even though right now you very, very much want it to be on, a month from now you're going to take it off. So that's considered to be a davar machbit. Not all that different in the case of the ring. The same way that the Mishnah says that a ring is called a davar machbit. And the rabbi explained, even though you want it on now, but you want to take it off a week from now when you start to make dough, so that's considered to be a davar machbit. Another achronim say no. That if the only reason why you're taking it off is down the line, a month from now when it heals, that in and of itself wouldn't be a davar machbit, because that's a davar kavur lozman. Since there's a set amount of time that it's not budgeting, so that doesn't constitute a davar machbit. It's not like the case of the rings. The rings are ein zman kavua, because you can need to wash dishes any moment in time. But if you have something that's going to remain in place for a period of time, and you know it's there for a set time, that is not a davar machbit. So why did Chazal describe a bandage as being a davar machbit? Because bandages are switched all the time. People look at them, check them, see what's going on. So there is no set time for bandage. But if you would have a set time for bandage, then Rechanami, that would not pose a problem. So we said that major machlokes is placed on the mice very often for us. A woman has some kind of a wound and she has a bandage, and the doctor says, no, you can't touch this bandage for another week, another 2 weeks, whatever it is. So in the interim time, can't you, assuming the bandage can get wet, can't get wet, that's another problem. But assuming that the area can get wet, so is that a problem with the chatzitza or not? It's a big machlokes haposkim. So that shaila comes up, not only in terms of the bandage itself, but probably related to the issue of the stitches also. So the stitches themselves considered to be a chatzitza. So it's probably the same shaila. Namely, if you accept this idea that it's only called a davar machbit when there's no set time, but if it's set time, then it's okay. So then there would be a set time for the stitches. Achti puts the stitches on Monday, so don't come back for another week. So she has to go to mikvah on Wednesday. So one could argue that that's not a chatzitza because it's a zman kavua, even though obviously you're going to come out at some point. Since it's a zman kavua, that wouldn't pose a problem. The Machmirim would say that that's not true. So Rav Moshe was makil on that shayla, a little, at least by the base of a star inside the mouth. Rav Moshe was not hot on that shayla. And others were not makil at all, even inside the mouth, and others were more makil even outside the mouth, even on the guf. So the Yesh V'Yesh, there are different opinions in the Gedolei Peskim. Again, it all revolves around the same basic question. Do you accept this notion that Zman Kavua mitigates the issue of Chatzitza or not? The Bat Yesh Shulchan throws in another thing into the mix that we take a look on page 46. So page 46 in the middle of the piece that starts with the Eged, right smack in the middle of the page. So after telling us that he doesn't like the idea of the stitches, then he says towards the end of the line, about 6-7 lines down, the piece of the Eged, at the end of the line, when is all this true? Those kinds of stitches that are going to be removed. So if they're going to be removed, then it's subject to this question, is that called davar machbit or not? We're going to nasi mechutim meshi and nylon, etc. About tfiros and nasi mechamorim shenivloim b'mekomot. What if you have stitches that are going to be dissolved into the body? It's a whole different story. If we're going mechutim, make the, I don't know what these things are. Came she ainim asidim liot nitalim isham, havlu kemiyot shena machbit alochaitzei. Says about the Shulchan Svara that if they're the type of stitches that are going to be absorbed into the body, Atum comes a Galuyim. Even if not the base of Starim, even if the body itself, which we mentioned is a little bit stricter than the base of Starim, so he says that's a Svara to say that's the Chalal I call the Dover Amachlid. How about God the Idu Lo Hoyer Nivloim, the Atzmam, Hoysa Rotsabasa Rosam Yachazman? He says, even though it's true that if the stitches won't dissolve in, you don't want the stitches there. At the end of the day, you want the stitches removed. So one could argue, what's the difference? Whether you want them removed out or you want them removed to be absorbed in? So he says, no, it's a big difference. So he quotes a Ramban, Mashbazav Ramban b'chidusho, the gelach alamaka irachetet, b'shum she'ena masirasa k'shulach, the kosh alamaka, u'mashed b'shiyabesh, no fame e'ilavad kanvorav. Ramban says that certain kinds of scabs perhaps are not chotzeitz because they're going to fall off by themselves. So the Ramban has a chiddush The Dovra Mach would be something that you are going to take off. Something that's going to fall off by itself. Even though I don't really want it. I'm waiting and plotting for it to fall off, but I'm not going to touch it. So says the Ramban, maybe that's not called the Dovra HaMachbid, not Machbid to remove it. Maybe that's not called the Chatzitza. Hare the Choshev Ke'agabri Ke'edu Machbid. Apagab the Ilu Lohay and Noto Be'elav Haysa Mesira. So even though the Ramban concedes that if the stiev won't fall off, eventually you would take it off. V'chanam the Kavaseh the Choshev Ke'edu Machbid. Kevin Shalivna Be'atzma B'mkomo. Basically what the Bani Ashulchan says, what's the difference between something falling off and something falling in? The idea is that you are personally not actively makbid to remove it. So just as the Ramban is willing to be making with certain kinds of scabs that peel off by themselves, maybe you could argue the same issue for stitches that peel in by themselves, then you fall into the body. Then he writes, he says, even those stitches that you do remove from the body, which are much more problematic, so he says, even the old style stitches, even stitches that are going to go back to be removed, if you have a few factors together, they would be okay. Number one, they're still functioning, they're still serving the purpose. So that means that there's zman kavua. You would never ever think of removing those stitches today. They're there for X amount of time. And if X amount of time is more than 30 days, so that would be all right. Now, this is a throwback to the teeth. Remember we mentioned last week that Rav Moshe was makil, if you have a temporary filling, even if it's there for a week, as long as it says man kavua, you're not going to get it taken out until X time, so that's considered to be not a chatzitza. And the Bnei Ashulchan didn't like that. He thought that you have to wait for 30 days also. So I don't know whether that's even practical. So he said, by stitches also, if it's more than, it's going to be for more than 30 days, and it's still functioning, it's medically can't be removed, so then one has a right to be makil. I don't know how practical the school is. I don't know what stitches are there for 30 days. I don't know any stitches are there for 30 days. So the school is not really going to help us all that much. But what we can extract from the Bnei Ashulchan is that he is equating this to the temporary fillings. Just as by the temporary fillings, he himself says, the Indian steam is manitz, kifeshinayim enchon. He makes the equation between the two. So maybe we could say, we accept his equation, but we don't accept his numbers. It means we accept this equation that basically stitches, even stitches that are going to be removed, are the same as a temporary filling. And just as we were making like temporary fillings, even without the 30 days, we didn't really think the 30 days were necessary. We thought this man kavu itself was enough, so we can extrapolate and say the same is true when it comes to stitches. So again, the yesh v'yesh, there are a lot of different opinions in the poskim, what the stat for the stitches is.
When did he live, the body?
But he was still alive.
Oh.
He was still there. So the question, just practically nice, what should we do with the stitches story? So it really depends on who you ask. Some Rabbanim will tell you if the woman has stitches, she can't go to the mikvah, finish that discussion. Another post will say, no, if she can go to the mikvah, if it's stitches that are going to dissolve into the body, those are significantly more major. Even stitches that are going to be removed, there are some posts who would, the Shasat Chakto would permit this. The only thing that nobody would prevent is one of the stitches already done. They've already finished what they're doing, but the doctor hasn't gotten around to removing them yet. So she's supposed to go to the mikvah on Tuesday night, and the stitches are ready. They're done. The stitches have been ready since 2 days ago to come out. But she couldn't get an appointment. The doctor's out of town. So the doctor says, oh, no big deal. Come back. I'll be back Friday. I'll be back in the office next Monday. So come back in a couple of days from now. So that's a much more serious problem. Then I don't think there's any grounds to be making at all, because the whole kula of going to mikvah with the stitches was based on the assumption that the stitches are still functioning and you would never ever remove them right now, and therefore they're not really called a davar machbid. But if they are done already medically or dental purposes, it's finished. And it's just a question of convenience, haven't been removed yet. If you have to find something, a doctor or a dentist or wait it out, that's what Fiyan is. I think that's according to everybody. So again, there are some mekilim under certain unique circumstances in terms of going to mikvah with stitches proper, but that's only if they're still functioning. A lot of the issues that we've been talking about in terms of the temporary fillings, and then we've extrapolated to the wounds, to the scabs, and the stitches, a lot of this comes to play also in terms of casts. So who wants to go to the mikvah with a cast? So we have to preface by saying there's different kind of casts. There's some casts that are waterproof and some that are not waterproof. So those casts that are not waterproof, that's a that's a huge problem, because just practically, medically, you can't let it go into the mikvah. The kid gets to get all ruined, and you have to cast off, get it replaced. So that's not going to happen. So the only kind of cast we can discuss are cast that can be exposed to water. Now, truth to be told, maybe one could discuss a cast that can't be exposed to water the following way. Maybe we tell her to put a bag on it. So the same way she takes a shower, she puts a plastic bag on the cast. So tell her to put a plastic bag on, she goes to the mikvah. That's a big, big problem. Because even if you can somehow stretch that the cast is not a Devar Chotzeitz, the bag is probably a Devar Chotzeitz. So, l'manushach. If a woman has a regular cast that can't be exposed to water, but to let her go without a bag on, that's not, can't do that. To let her go with a bag on, the bag itself poses a problem. So casts which can't be exposed to water are a very, very big problem. I don't think we have a right to be makel on that kind of a shayla. Remember once a woman called me with a shayla about a cast, and I told her that I didn't really think there was any eitza. So either I told her like to call me back, I'll try to whatever it was. I was thinking about it. Talked to this other rabbi about it. Talked to the doctors about it. Well, you couldn't come up with any eitza. So I was ready to tell her, and the answer is no. She has to wait until the cast is removed. So she calls me back and says, "Oh, don't worry." I was like heavy and annoying, so apologetic. "Oh, don't worry, I spoke to another rabbi, he said it's fine." I said, "I don't know who you spoke to, I didn't want to say this." Okay. Anyway.
What did he say was fine? I have a bag on it?
Absolutely no idea. I have no idea what he said.
If there's a bag on it, and it's already, the cast is already there, it's already a Devar Chotzeitz.
So you're saying it's a very, very long shesvar. You want to be Malamit Chos on the rabbi. I don't know what he said. You want to be Malamit Chos on the idea that it's almost like, well, the cast itself should have been a chatzitza. So we're declaring that the cast is not a chatzitza because it's man kavua, like Ramosha, basically. And then we're saying, and the bag, well, anyway, water's not going under the cast. So the bag is almost, it's not doing it. Lama of the bag. The bag is buffled to the cast. So just as the, so we touch hutra the cast, hutra the bag. It's the kind of svara that you say. So it's not such a wild svara. That svara was suggested by Shlomo Zalman. There's almost like a half a footnote somewhere. If Shlomo Zalman throws out that possibility, I don't know whether Shlomo Zalman really the mice held that way in any shape or form. If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw it in a footnote, Rabbi Forst Sefer, if I'm not mistaken. And this goes back a couple of years. And I think Rabbi Willie, but he thought about it, and he told me he spoke to Rabbi Forst about it. I don't want to say anyone's name, I'm not sure. I think it was Rabbi Forst, another statement of Hasidah. And he told him, he just wrote it in as a footnote, a little lumbish, a footnote or something. It wasn't the mice, you know, we were showing down. Self didn't really say the mice. It was just an idea. It was just, you know, a possibility. I don't know, whatever it was. So that svara has made its way into print. But it was suggested by one of the Gavelli. I think it was from Zalman, but I'm not sure whether it was the mice. There was a certain kula that we did discuss. It's a similar kind of a kula when it came to something much more significant than just the cast. So the cast, you have the svara, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, not the end of the world. Sometimes you have a very, very serious shayla, and you have a woman who's on dialysis, and it's a younger woman who's still at the age of going to the mikvah, she's on dialysis, so she has to have a port, right? A port in all the time. So the question is, the port itself is not really a Devar Chotzeitz, because the port itself is there for a long time. So that's not considered to be a Devar Chotzeitz. The problem is, I think the port can't get wet. I think the port has to be covered with something. So I think there's something that comes with it to cover over that you don't keep it covered all the time. Now the shayla is, that itself is a Devar Chotzeitz. That's part of your svara. There, we're not talking about waiting 2 weeks. They were talking about waiting for 10 years, and who knows how the rest of our life I'm going to the mikvah. So that's a much, much more serious shayla. So there may be other grounds there also, the hakel, because there, the ramifications of going to the mikvah without putting the bag on, it's not just a question of the cast, it's a question of infection, it's a question of become a chashash to pekuach nefesh, because the area is open. So there may be more grounds of the hakel. So I remember I had a shayla one time, a young woman called me with a shayla, and I called I spoke to a certain rav about this. Somebody had told me I had a certain cool about this. I called this rav, so he told me that he wrote this up once to be makel on the shayla, but he wanted to just go back to his notes again to make sure he had it straight. So I called him again, told him to call him back like 2-3 days. I called him back a couple of days later, and he told me that eventually had a good ending. But he told me that his daughter writes up all his, she's a better writer than him, so essentially she writes up like all the pieces that he wants to write, nice. So he couldn't, I don't know what happened exactly, but he said, give me another day or two until I track my daughter down to find out. I want to see this again, exactly what I wrote, because I'm very, very serious. I mean, not the woman for the next 10 years. He goes to Mikva with a plastic bag on, basically. He's very, very serious. In the end, finally I called him back a third time. He said it was Mutter. He said that he was very, very extenuating circumstances. He thought there were grounds to be made. So the that was upsetting the woman. And I think it's still on the analysis, and she still goes to the mikveh with this kind of, I don't know exactly what the plastic contraption that she goes with, but she goes with something that would otherwise we would never permit, but based on some of these svaras, we're a little bit more mikveh.
Would it then make a difference if the cast is like going to be there for a year or something?
Yeah, so that, if it's going to be there for a year, then even the Bani Shulchan really won't make it. The problem with the cast is that it can't be, it can't get wet, that's the problem. So they're all waterproof casts. So the full woman, if she tells a doctor in advance, I think they work the same, just they're more expensive. So if a woman wants, I'm not saying that as a doctor, I'm saying that's what somebody once told me. I don't know whether that's true. So I remember we once spoke to an orthopedist and asked him, what is there an option here to basically remove the cast, have a girl make put the cast back on again. So medically, it's not the soundest thing to do. And he also said that practically, he said you can't do that. He said if you do that for one person, he said you're his lashon was off the record. He was a doctor who practices in New Jersey. His lashon was, he said to me, if I do that, I will have women here from Lakewood every night breaking casts and putting them back on the next day. And he said that will become ma'aseh b'chalyon. I can just imagine how many people have asked that already. So he said, it's not medically, it's not practical to do such a thing. There was a shiloh once had a very, very serious shiloh. That a woman who hadn't gone to the mikvah in already a couple of months, she had been in a car accident, and she had broken very seriously a leg, and she had the pins, they called the pins, and reconstructed the whole knee, whatever it was. And she found that she couldn't even get to the mikveh. She hadn't gone to the mikveh in a long time. And she was up to the point where she felt she was ready to go now back to the mikveh. It cleared her that in theory she'd go to the mikveh. So she wanted to know, can I go to the mikveh with these pins, which are not just internal, but they're outside also. They extend, protrude out. So she wanted to know, could she go to the mikveh with them coming out? So I thought that the ikra didn't show that it's the same shadow as the stitches, really. That if it's something that's zman kavua, if they're not going to come out for another month, so then the ikra didn't is zman kavua. Even though the Bani Shulchan would only be maker for a month, but we can be more maker, even chatting on mikra in a few months, we can be more maker, let her go to the mikra now, even though they're, as long as they're set to come out another 2-3 weeks from now. So when she was presenting me all the facts, so I guess they were, when are they due to come out? So she said, tomorrow. I said, tomorrow, so why don't you get them out tomorrow? I'm going to mikvah tomorrow night? I mean, anyway, it's been a few months. It's much, much better to do that. So, no. The reason why she's calling now is because the doctor said tomorrow they're coming out and then they're putting a cast on it tomorrow. So she said, if I don't go to the mikvah tonight, then you're going to tell me I can't go to mikvah another 2 months with a cast on. So I want to go to the mikvah right now. This is my only moment of a window of opportunity. I said, that's a big problem. I said, if you would have called me a month ago, I would have been making. Because a month ago, it would have been like stitches. So the stitches that are still serving them out, now they're not serving any purpose. Now the omer that has to come out in 12 hours from now, that's like stitches that's like the doctor playing golf. It means the stitches are ready to come out. It's just you couldn't get up over them. The stitches, the pegs, the pins could come out right now if you want. It's today or tomorrow. So now you're in a big pickle. I said, now I think it's a big problem. So she said, so what options are available to me? So I said, again, you have to talk to your doctor, but in theory, the only option that seems to be available is in between. It means go to the doctor tomorrow, get the pins out, and then go to the mikvah. I don't mean literally run to the mikvah, hobble to the mikvah, and then get the cast in. The doctor said, forget it, the doctor's not going to do that. He said, who gets sued for malpractice? Why does she need a cast? Because she's not safe to be walking on the leg yet. So she's going to the mikvah, go to a wet mikvah, she's going to trip on the steps going to the mikvah, the doctor's going to get sued for malpractice. But I learned something interesting along the way is that not even this case, but another case, I learned that told me they come with this runa, that if I give terrible medical advice, I can't get sued for malpractice because I'm not a doctor. I said, you are mishugim for listening to me. I said, if you ask me a shayla and I tell you, oh yeah, no problem, get the, you know, take your cast off, take your pins off, get your stitches out, and you go ahead and do that. I said, you took my right, then I'm not a doctor. But if the doctor gives terrible advice, so the doctor can get sued. So the doctor, forget it, I'm not taking off, you expect me to take out pins and then send it to the mikvah and have a trip and then you can come back screaming at me. So that wasn't happening. So I remember at the time we were talking to different orthopedics about this option. So I remember the time I remember exactly where the shal happened. It was in the summertime. It was the summer, so I was in California. This goes back. So shal goes back. These were these notes. What does it do? Okay, these shiur are from the summer shiur of California. So I remember sitting in my in-law's house at the time. It was about 6-7 o'clock at night, California time, and frantic on the phone with the mikvah that the woman was there already. She was ready at the mikvah. She's trying to figure out how to go to the mikvah when nobody called beforehand. So it was 3 hours late. It was night in California. She went back and forth, trying to call the doctor, trying to call the woman, trying to call this, the mikvah, trying to make some kind of sense.
With the pins?
With the pins, yeah. The case of the pins. And after about an hour, I said, I can't help you. So apparently, again, this part I'm not responsible for. I have to turn off the tape.